Welcome to episode 9 of Chicago Beer Pass. This week, Nick and I chat about all the fun we had at FOBAB, and we talk about some of the upcoming events before Thanksgiving week. Hey, and welcome back to the Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
I'm Nick White.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again, Nick. We had, a fun week. We saw each other quite a bit.
Yeah, man. You know, more than usual, which is cool, you know?
but before getting to the...
Every once in a while, it's cool.
Yeah, every once in a while, you gotta stay separate, but, you know. Can't be hanging out all the time. That's weird. But before we get into this week, what we did, we're drinking some Heartwood today, some 2010 Symposium Ale.
Yeah, so this is the beer. So every year the craft brewers conference changes cities, right? And every year the craft brewers conference host city creates a beer for the event. Mm-hmm. So back in 2010, it was here, right here in Chicago. So of course we had to make a barrel aged beer. Right?
Yeah.
So everybody got together. There were a lot of breweries in the guild. All got together. They made five or six different blends.
They made four beers.
Four beers. They made four beers, and then they blended them all together.
Yeah, and then put them in a barrel.
Then put them in a barrel. So there's an IPA, a barley wine, a stout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I forget what the fourth one was, but yeah, I guess maybe just a pale or something.
Yeah, if you get a chance, you guys look up the video for that conference. That was the Brad, Maeve, and maybe even Ken production, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a Hopcash production. That video is really cool. It's 2010 from the Craft Brewers Conference when it was in Chicago, and this is the beer. It is the Heartwood Symposium Ale.
And we got a bunch of bottles from doing the video. Pete was in charge of, I think, all the bottles, so we ended up with a good 6-pack or more each of us. So I've still had bottles laying around at the house, so every once in a while I'll pull one out and see how it's tasting. I think last year a bunch got pulled out the night before FOBAB when the pre-party was at Haymarket.
Yeah.
And I think it was tasting really good then. And I figured since we're going to be talking about FOBAB today, no better time to crack open a bottle and see how it's tasting.
Absolutely. And I'm looking on the side of this bottle and see the artwork is done by Randy Mosier, which I didn't know. And yeah, there's about 20 different breweries listed on here. So this was a special moment in Chicago beer history.
Yeah.
In recent years, this was a good time.
But I think it might be past its prime now after 4 years. Yeah, almost 4 years now.
Yeah, you're getting a little bit of oxidation on the nose. You're getting a little cardboard when you taste it. I mean, there are some elements that you still like that Scotch Wee Heavy. That was the fourth one.
Okay.
So you got a little bit of the Scotch Wee Heavy, sweet and malty still. But yeah, I think last year is probably when we had it at the pre-party.
It was tasting great
then. Yeah, it was amazing. I think now it might be, starting to fall off a little bit.
Right. So if you have a bottle, which I'm sure most people don't, I think I have one more, so I'll probably be opening that with somebody soon here.
Yeah, I've only seen this beer twice, today and then last year at the pre-party at Haymarket. So it says right here on the bottle what beers comprise the beer. So it says right here they've got it's an Imperial Stout,
which is basically Bourbon County.
Yeah, basically BCS, an Imperial IPA, a Scotch Stout Wee Heavy, and a Barley Wine. They were all aged separately in bourbon barrels. And then blended, and that became the Symposium Ale, 2010. So, getting emotional here, man, because we haven't seen that event here since then.
No, yeah, it's moving around. I think it's in Denver this coming year, and then maybe Portland after that. I forget. But cool. Yeah. Well, let's jump into this week. We'll sip on this a little bit, and talk about this week. I know we got FOBAB at the end of the week, but let's. There had to have been a couple things we made it to before that, I think.
Yeah, so I don't think I got to anything.
Nothing?
Noteworthy. a friend of mine went to the sour beer symposium at Bottom Lounge.
Oh, cool.
So he kind of acted as a guest correspondent on the website for that event. So that event's up on the website. So I'd feel kind of weird reading what he wrote.
Okay.
But it's... But yeah, Jeff Sparrow, who wrote the book about wild ales, He was one of the guest speakers, and then a couple of the brewers were there talking about what the base beers were for their sours at New Belgium.
Oh, cool.
So
nice. Well, I made it to an event at the Field Museum. It was the opening of the Field Museum Bistro there.
Yeah.
And I only got invited because it was beer related. There was a new beer from Off Color going on tap there. It's called Tooth and Nail, and it's their Pilsner.
Okay.
And it is tasty.
Yeah. I really hope we continue that trend of, like, you know, session beers, mm-hmm. you know, taking the forefront in a lot of cases in craft beer.
Yeah.
You know?
It was neat to see Off Color do something, I guess, more traditional, because they're kind of all about bringing back beers you haven't seen or just doing something a little different. And so it was neat to see, like, oh, this Pilsner is really good. And so that's awesome.
Absolutely.
That was the only thing unfobab related I made it to. Mm-hmm. Let's just go for it.
Yeah, get right into it, man. The 11th annual Festival of Wooden Barrel Aged Beers last week.
Right. So it kind of kicked off with a pre-party.
Right.
That was kind of invite only. It was for brewers and media and volunteers of the event.
Right. So I think the title of it was Brewers and Sponsors Dinner. Mm-hmm. I think is what they called it. So it was at Revolution, the Kedzie facility, their production facility. And then Rev catered all the food. Mm-hmm. And then they had a lot of barrel-aged beers on draft. But then they also had in jockey boxes some guest drafts as well.
Yeah. And basically the whole place was open to everyone or to anyone there. They could wander around. I know I was back by the canning line and taking pictures of the piles of Fismas and Anti-Hero cans. And
yeah, so the fun part was that you actually got to, you know, if you were at this party, you could kind of, for the most part, around the tanks where the brew house is, you could freely walk around those tanks and see these huge structures. Hmm. You know, Revolution, I don't know, you know, what type of system they're brewing on, but, you know, they got these huge fermenters and this really big brew house, and they just kind of opened it up and said, hey, you know, if you guys want to see our house, you know, go right ahead. And that's great because they've got one of the biggest houses in the city.
Yeah.
So to be able to party in that space is kind of special. You know, I've only been there like 3 times for parties like that.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we've talked about this before, but they have like in their lease that they can have multiple parties a year. And so here was one of their parties that you had to get invited to. And it was just kind of different than maybe their Oktoberfest one that you went to where it's more crazy. This was a... all the beer people you recognize and kind of all the brewers and can walk around and say hi to everybody.
A lot of the brewers that are in town from, you know, breweries that don't necessarily distribute here, you know, they were there. Like you said, the volunteers are there. And then it was just kind of more like a reunion of sorts, kind of. Like, well, hey, everybody you know is from, you know, that's doing beer-related stuff where they're a distributor or they also, you know, they write or host a show or whatever they do. You know, you see them, but not often. Mm-hmm. So it's a room full of those people.
Yeah.
So it was a good feeling. And we all got these, you know, we all got excited because we knew like that was Christmas Eve, which means the next day is Christmas, you know. So.
Although they had some fun beers on tap there. Did you have anything noteworthy? See.
I think what I did was, I started out with the, not the Death Star, but the Black Power.
Okay.
It was like the Cherry Black Power, which is like their barrel-aged oatmeal stout. And yeah, it took me about a half hour to drink that beer.
Oh, wow.
So then beer number two, I immediately scaled back to the Loganberry, which is their, it's basically a beer that uses local fruit. And it's very similar to the Rosa. The Rosa is like their summer beer with like rose petals, right? And this beer was kind of like an extension of that, where Rosa is like a seasonal thing. Loganberry kind of picked up where it left off, except Rosa was in cans, but this is draft only. Loganberry was like this really low ABV, kind of fruit-centric.
I think I like Loganberry a little more than Rosa.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rosa is definitely kind of like a... it's definitely not my thing.
Okay.
Right? Rosa was not my thing, but Loganberry is something that I could cruise with all night.
Cool.
So that I had those two, and then, you know, Haymarket had they had the same beer, but in 4 different barrels at their station.
Oh, really? I didn't even try any of their stuff.
Yeah, but then honestly, I wanted to stay away from the barrel stuff, so I pretty much just went to like Jillian and Halia from Goose until I ran out, and that's really all I remember from that night.
Okay, one beer that I remember having was from, is it Saginaw or their Neapolitan? ice cream
beer. Sagatuck.
Sagatuck.
Yeah, up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And this beer, it's one that I don't need to have again.
Yeah.
But I remember it, and it stands out just because you get the strawberry, you get the ice, the vanilla ice cream, and then I guess you get the malty chocolateness, mm-hmm. and it's kind of different. It's interesting.
Yeah. So the way it was set up is that on one end is the Rev taps, and then on the complete other end, in front of this band that was playing like, you know, like straight up folk music with like a, you know, like a banjo and like a washboard. They were doing that kind of music live. In front of those guys, there were all these jockey boxes where you could try maybe like, I don't know, seven or so different breweries. So.
Cool, yeah. And I know probably myself too, but a lot of other people stayed longer than they should have, knowing that many of them had to get up at like 6-8 in the morning the next day to go judge and set up at FOBAP. Right. I think Gary Valentine, the moment he got there, he's like, I'm just having one and saying bye. He was there till like the end.
My favorite part was seeing Gary walk around with like a bottle of Dos Equis. I was like, this dude. But that's him. You know, mm-hmm. what are you going to do? Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people from that party woke up hungover for FOBAP, which is, you know, I don't know.
It's a dangerous start. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was definitely a good time. And then especially at Revolution. You know, when Revolution shuts it down for a private party for their production facility, you know, you should probably go.
Yeah.
So it was definitely worth it.
It was fun. And then next day was FOBAP. This was up at the Bridgeport Arts Center.
Yeah. So this is down in Bridgeport, and this is in the Skyline Loft. So Bridgeport Arts Center is this 4-story brick structure, and at the very top is this space with a bunch of glass and wide open sight lines, and that's where FOBAP was this year.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I got there around 12:30. It kind of kicked off around 12. Imbibe members could get in at 12, and then general tickets could get in at 1.
Right.
And so I was there around 12:30, and yeah, I was kind of shocked at like they took over another room, so it was bigger this time. I wasn't prepared for that.
Absolutely. So the thing I noticed about FOBAP that was different from last year was that there were more people, but you could still get a beer relatively fast. So I think like, yeah, there's the Imbibe Hour. If you guys haven't signed up for Imbibe, you probably should. It gets you the hour pre, you get into FOBAP an hour early if you're an Imbibe member. And for that, it's worth the membership alone. But yeah, so the Imbibe Hour was big. Like a lot of people that were there for Imbibe. And then, yeah, and then the judging was in a different room this year because they took over the judges' room with all beers.
Okay. Yeah, the judging was kind of in where the VIP lounge was.
Yeah. So, you know, here we are, you know, these old grizzly guys were like, when are these judges going to be done, man, so we can have our VIP room? Like, like when do we become those people where we're just like, ah, are they done judging so we can have our room?
Right. There's nothing even in that room that's that interesting besides like chairs to sit down in.
Right. So, yeah, man. The one thing I did remember from the early session, the Imbibe session, the hour early, was that there was a huge line for Backyard Rye from Bourbon County Goose. Okay. And then they put Track 13, which is Lost Abbey's, one of Lost Abbey's beers, next to 2012 Sam Adams Utopias.
Okay.
So there was like a nice little line building up around those two.
Oh, fine. I didn't have any Utopias, but I did try Track 13 and I just walked up and got some.
Yeah. Sometimes that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My first beer was Utopias.
Okay. I'm
not sure if that was the wisest decision, but I had to try it because I honestly don't remember ever having Utopias.
Okay.
And it was like, it's like a 30% beer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost along the lines of like a sherry or a brandy. And it's like dangerously smooth and just fun and sweet, full of molasses and dark fruit. It's just good.
Right. If you have a chance to try it, there's no reason why you shouldn't because the bottle's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And it's worth experiencing once if you haven't had it.
I agree 100%. Yeah. And then what they were saying later on in the day was that Sam Adams actually sent almost 12 grand worth of this beer, Utopias, to the party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a 2012 bottle, and they sent about 12 grand worth of it over. That's cool. So that was my pre-hour was spent, you know. I had the Backyard Rye.
Mm-hmm.
I had a beer called, my favorite beer of the pre-session was the Gubna from Oscar Blues that was in the tequila.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was super fun.
All right. I didn't end up having that, but Maeve had that, and she's not a tequila person or a Gubna fan, so yeah. She was like, no thanks.
Yeah, that just wanted you. You want to do one of these. Woo! Right? That's what you wanted to do after you had that beer. Yeah, it was a good time. So FOBAB's a competition. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people know that. But yeah, it's a festival of wooden barrel-aged beers. And, you know, you get all these beers that people have been sitting on for like a year to make, right? Because that's how barrel-aging beers work. So there were, it looks like...
there was 11 categories.
11 categories. Yeah. They even added a cider category this year.
Right, that was new. Seeing basically the two plus... I think Hard Knocks was one of the other side, but really it was just Vandermill and Virtue.
Yeah, just going head to head.
Yeah.
And Virtue won, man. Mm-hmm. So for the Mitten, which is their barrel aged version of one of their beers, one of their ciders. So we won't talk about like every category, but we should probably talk about maybe the best in show, right? Or the best in show and runner up, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so then of these 11 categories, you know, there were gold, silver, and bronze winners in each of the 11 categories. The best in show runner-up was Backyard Rye by Bourbon County Stout, Goose Island.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I didn't even get to try it. I think it ran out by the time I even thought about it.
So. Yeah, I had a chance to try it, and I guess it's this year's take on, you know, their fruit beer. So usually in the last few years, their tradition has kind of been, hey, let's make a different version of a coffee Bourbon County Stout, and then let's make a version of like a fruit-based version of Bourbon County Stout. Whether it's, you know, a couple years ago, it was the one with, the blackberries?
Brambleberry.
Yeah, it was a bramble rye, mm-hmm. And then last year was cherry rye, and this year it was backyard rye. So the way I get it, and I could be wrong, but backyard rye, I think, is got like some local berries in it, right? Like mulberries from like Humble Park.
Yeah, I think they went out and shook the trees and got all those berries.
Right, it's a cool story. I hope we get to see one of those videos like we saw today for the Ten Hills.
Yeah, I think Ken shot some stuff for that, so we may see something. Yeah.
So this is basically their fruit version of Bourbon County Stout for this year, Asian Templeton Rye Barrels, presumably. Right, that was the runner-up for Best in Show. Best in Show was Libretour from Bell's in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah, that beer was tasty.
It was good, man. It was, and I was actually excited because it was clean and dry and not super bold on flavor. It was a very elegant beer.
Right. I think maybe the problem is if you did have it, you kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, it gets lost in the shuffle. I think, we're starting to see, you know, more of a trend where those types of beers are being highlighted more, you know, and this is the first time in recent memory where a beer that was that small, right, in ABV wise, mm-hmm. you know, took home first place.
Yeah.
You know, I did want to send a couple of shout outs, man. Shout out to Wild Onion Brewing because they took the bronze for Jack Stout, and we brewed our beer Deception with those guys.
Nice.
And then Revolution, man. Revolution cleaned up in one of these categories, man. They won like, it was in the Imperial Dark Beer category. So they won a silver for Gravedigger Billy, which is like their basically a barrel-aged wee heavy. Mm-hmm. And then they took home a gold for Working Mom.
Yeah, Working Mom. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So that was cool. And yeah, and also shout out to John Lafler and the guys over at Off Color. They won two awards. They won a silver award in Classic Styles for Scurried. And then they also won for a beer called Cherry Trouble. This was in the fruit beer category. They won a silver in that category as well. So
nice. Yeah, I think he knows a thing or two about barrel aging beers.
I think you might be right.
Okay. I really liked his Rattler Snake.
Oh yeah,
it was like Rattler style beer aged in gin barrels. Mm-hmm. So it was Rattler with a bite.
Oh man. I like the way that sounds. Every year I had that moment where I was like, well, damn, where was I? Because I didn't have that beer.
Okay. I think I had like two or three of those.
Yeah. I really wish I would have seen that.
It was right next to the barrel-aged Abraxas that had the line that kind of messed up, I think, the second session. I think
Was Abraxas?
Was just like ridiculous. It kind of cut the room in half, and it was made it hard to get back and forth, just because that line was so... It went from one end of the room to the other.
That beer is amazing, though.
it is a good beer, but you're messing up the flow here.
Yeah, that's true. That's tough. I'm really glad. It was nice to see, even though I was kind of like bitching about, you know, the judging being moved to a different room. I did like that the rear room by the kitchen was used for all the most of the sour beers.
Yeah, sours and ciders
were back there. Yeah, sours and ciders were back there, and then Goosehead was doing their barrel thing. You know, Goose kind of shines at these events. Mm-hmm. They won 5 medals at this party, and then they were doing some really fun variants of a lot of their beers. I know they were the one I had was the Bourbon County Barley Wine poured through a coffee Randall.
Okay.
And then they were doing one of their IPAs stuffed with the Randall had jalapenos in it.
Yeah.
Fresh jalapenos. I missed that one. But what I did have when I went back there was the Fuzzy from Side Project.
I missed that one, yeah. By the time I got back there, beers run out quickly in the second session.
Yeah.
Like, I'd recommend anyone who, if you're able to get tickets to Phobab, even though they sell out in like 3 minutes, go to the first session. It's a little calmer, and beers don't run out. They may pull them, but it usually doesn't happen because there's not, like, the word's not out. The awards aren't announced till the end, so you can usually try most things.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I had a sour beer called Massacrated by Raspberries from Dark Horse, and then I had the Saint Dakar stuff from Distill back there. Cool. So I spent, like, a nice 20-30 minutes back there. Just getting some nice sour beers in. One thing I did notice this year was that there was a lot. I think the Guild is trying to make a statement with coverage. I think there were a lot. I saw 3 different video crews there.
Yeah, there was a lot of people filming and taking photos, and
yeah,
it seemed crazy.
It's becoming this. It's becoming a national event. So I know at the pre-party, I met Draft Magazine was there. Mm-hmm. And then also there was a lady who does like a magazine in Texas. She was at that thing. And then at the actual Phobab on Saturday, the University of Northwestern University was there filming. There was a crew from the Burbs. And we cover their stuff all the time too. The Jeremy Teal and those guys. Ale to the Burbs, Suburbia, they were filming. And then there was a third crew. Oh, Mambecue. And then Mambecue was filming as well.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, we were there snapping hundreds of photos and live tweeting and all that mm-hmm. jazz. So it's, I think they did a good job of like really, there's going to be a lot of good coverage of this event.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens now next year? It's kind of already spilled into another room. Is that second room going to be bigger? I know that room is bigger because it was kind of divided off. So, is that room going to be bigger next year? Like, what happens here? Like, what's the cutoff here? Like, how many beers is too many for 4 hours? And, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I have my way, that room in the rear where the sours were and the room that has space in it, that sour room has space in it, if I have my way, the judges will be judging in the rear of that room. But there is room to expand Phobab.
Sure.
You know, there's room to expand it. And I think they do a good job. Now, there were a lot of people at Phobab, you know, definitely more than last year, especially in the night session.
Right. But so could it have more people? Would that even work? Because you're only getting, I think you are required to have a keg or 2 sixths of beer for this event.
Right,
so
right.
Beer's just going to run out faster. Like a line like Barrel Age Abraxas is going to be longer and it's going to go quicker because there's more people. So is that what happens here?
Yeah, I mean, you almost, if you were to grow it, I think, you know, one of the things I was noticing, if you were going to grow it, just take the winners, because there's 11 winners, and, you know, there's gold, metal, and silver, so there's 11 categories, but there's actually more winners.
Yeah.
Right? So what you would do is, you know, maybe take those winners and put them in a different space, maybe?
For
the second session. I mean, maybe. I don't know. And then make the second session a little bit bigger. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is work for the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild.
Right. I guess this is, you know, I don't work for the Guild. I just ask these questions by myself.
Right, right. You know, I sit around
and I have no answers to this.
I sit around and drink barrel-aged beers and ponder the ifs. Yeah. Like, well, what if there's more people?
What's Justin going to do about this?
Justin, I've got a question for you to figure. No, but yeah. But yeah, but kudos to those guys, man. I know a lot of those guys, a lot of the volunteers are with the Chicago Beer Society. You know, a lot of those volunteers, you know, work at Haymarket. Our friend Heather Cundard, who's the director of Festival, she was the director for a lot of volunteers. And then, of course, our guy, Justin Maynard, you know, the executive director of the Guild. That's a killer party, no matter how you look at it. And yeah, I think it's really, you know, one of the best events we have all calendar year long. So kudos to those guys, man. Great space, great event.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's enough talking about the past here. Let's move into the future and what's upcoming and what we might be going to.
We're going to pour some more of this symposium ale too. So what do you got for us, Brad?
So Wednesday at the Map Room is the Huetzi release party. It's the Five Rabbit beer. I think it's Huetzi.
Yeah, Huetzi. It sounds Huetzi. Right. So I know it's short for a longer name. So a lot of their beers are based around like, you know, Aztec mythology, right? And then Huetzi was, in short, he was the Aztec god who slayed the winter so that the summer could come, right? So this was in the past, this was their mid-winter cooler. You know, they kind of said, Randy Mosher kind of said, hey, you know, a lot of winter beers are, you know, big, dark, and heavy. He's like, let's have a beer that celebrates the coming of spring, essentially. So they got this beautiful, like, 9% Belgian ale that's got, like, honey and
ginger,
hibiscus, chamomile, all these things in it. That was just kind of like the exact opposite of what you traditionally find in the cold months. It's a good beer. It comes in a big fucking, you know.
Yeah, it's nice.
Big format bottle. Yeah,
but that's Wednesday at the Map Room. So,
yeah. So
and then also over in Bucktown, Wicker Park area on Thursday is at Demo's Pizza. Mambacue's having an event.
Yeah, Mambacue was one of the crews that was recording at FOBAB, and you know, John and Jesse, those guys are crazy. You know, with their meat, beer, rock and roll lifestyle, man. So they made a beer with Lake Effect.
Right.
And then they're going to debut the beer at a pizza joint. So I believe like there's two price levels. There's $30 and then there's $20. So you get, you know, a couple slices of pizza and a couple beers essentially.
Mm-hmm. And it's a mole smoked porter.
That sounds really good.
Right. And we kind of mentioned Lake Effect before, and it's kind of hard to find their beers outside of where they at?
Jefferson Park. So like the northwest side of town.
So seeing some of their beer in Wicker Park, Bucktown, hey. That's kind of awesome.
I think that's a good idea for them. You know, yeah, they're going to be right in the heart of Wicker Park, right at this place, Demo's Pizza, is like right at North Ave and Damon, basically. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a chance to, you know, see what they're about, see what the Mambacue guys are about. That actually sounds like a fun event. Yeah.
And you get some pizza out of it, too. So
pizza.
That's not bad. and then over the weekend is event. You came across last week and we talked about at Medieval Times.
Yeah, Medieval Times is throwing a pretty wacky event. You know, Medieval Times is known for having basically a theater and a dinner, right? It's live theater where, you know, they have the guys on horses and they battle, right? Mm-hmm. That's basically what they do.
I think you cheer for a side.
You like cheer for a side. Right. And then they battle and then, you know, one, and it's a fight to the death kind of thing, right? So Medieval Times is having a beer event. So there's three different levels to their beer event. There's like you can go to the beer event on its own. You can go to the beer event that includes food, you know, the feast that they have at each one of these shows. And then there's the third level where you can have, you know, the beer event, the dinner, and the show.
Cool.
You know, so that's going to be out at Medieval Times in Schaumburg, Illinois.
Right, so a little bit of a hike to get out there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. You should probably take the train if possible.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You can ride your horse there.
You can... or get a designated driver, man. Yeah, be careful going to Schaumburg.
And then there's two other events on Saturday. One is also in the suburbs out in Rockford with the Guild and Ale to the Burbs. They have an event at the Olympic Tavern from 1 to 4.
Absolutely. So I just want to say that, you know, shout out to those guys, man. Ale to the Burbs and, you know, Suburbia and Beer
Blah,
Dog.
Blah,
blah, beer. Beer Dogging, all those guys. So at the Rev pre-party, they kind of said, hey, you know, what we want to do is have the Beer Bloggers Conference 2015 here in Chicago.
Okay.
You know, last year was in Boston, this upcoming year is in San Diego, and they're like, why not here in Chicago? You know, Chicago's always changing itself as a beer city. We need to have it here. So they're like, so the petition for the Beer Bloggers Conference 2015 starts right now, and those guys are driving it. So shout out to those guys, and yeah, we're gonna get it here. You know, we got a lot of cool crews here, mm-hmm. got a lot of good beer here. I think the nation needs to see what we do, and the way we party. You know, we have some really cool parties in this town. I think everybody, we should invite everyone here, have them fly in the Midway or O'Hare, because we can do that.
Right, yeah.
And then just, you know, 3 days of rock and roll, man. That's, you know, the way we do it. Yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, go to this event, support those guys. As we mentioned before, being a guild, an imbibe member, you get in for $15 rather than the $20. So right there, you're saving more money. You maybe saved a FOBAB. Now you're saving here.
You're winning. Go get the imbibe membership. It's a win.
So yeah, look for that event. And then you came across an event in the city at Union Station.
Yeah, so in the Great Hall.
Bacon event. I think you find a lot of bacon. What's up with this?
And I don't even eat bacon like that, you know? Like, I mean, you know, I'm not anti-bacon, you know. It's just like you got to be in the mood for bacon. I don't just like eat bacon every day, you know. So I'm like, you know.
You're missing out.
So yeah, it is the candy of meats, Brad. So it's Bacon Sports is hosting an event at, you know, a Chicago landmark, the Great Hall at Union Station. So it's basically beer, bacon, extravaganza.
Okay.
So what they're having is a session from like 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. where they're inviting like interactive games and, you know, trivia and sports contest and, you know, autograph signing from, you know, from sports figures and as well as like a beer and food festival.
Okay.
Basically, cool. Right in the middle of a Union Station there. So that's going to be a fun time. I've met those guys and they're all right. They came on the Brew Bus once.
Oh, neat.
And okay. Yeah, they're a fun group of guys. And this thing, this beer, bacon, sports thing, I mean, it seems like something that would be really cool. So.
Very cool. Yeah.
And then there's one more thing this weekend. This is Saturday, November 23rd at noon. The guys out at Five Rabbit at their production facility in Bedford Park. Bedford Park is not too far from Midway Airport. So in Bedford Park, they're having a homebrew contest. So this is where Five Rabbit's hosting an event where Randy Mosier will be sharing his knowledge and experience on brewing with special ingredients. So the material covered in the class is really homebrew centric. It's basically a two-part workshop. It's called the Iron Brew Challenge, Iron Brew Workshop with Five Rabbit. So if you're into homebrew and you want to go out there, it looks like you can ride to the brewery, check it out, and get a chance to talk with the legend, Randy Mosier. It's a pretty big deal. Randy's a great guy. And it's $45 for that ticket. It includes charcuterie along with cheese, bread, and other fun stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. So check that out if you guys are interested.
Nice. And then to give you one more event, on Tuesday, November 26th at Small Bar Division is the second Stout Blowout. Yeah, second time they've been doing this. It's just like a tap takeover of stouts, basically. And a few beers that are on tap are like Velvet Merkin, Founders Imperial Stout, Left Hand Wake and Bake. They'll have the Lake Effect and Mambuque Unholy Moly Stout.
So oh, wow.
If you don't make it to Demos. And like lots of others, the list is continuing to grow. So check that out Tuesday, November 26th.
Right on.
And then I think that's kind of it. Then we're getting into Thanksgiving, and it might be a quiet week next week.
Yeah, the holidays are coming around. They're doing that big, they do the big parade downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people. Oh, Black Friday at Goose.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good one. Maybe we'll talk about more about that next week. We'll look into that.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that kind of wraps up the show for this time. It's a little longer one. We had a lot to talk about with FOBAB.
Yeah, FOBAB is FOBAB, so. Yeah.
And so if people want to get a hold of you, Nick, where can they find you and reach out?
Absolutely, man. Reach out to Shy Beer Geeks on Twitter or just go to facebook.com/ShyBeerGeeks.
And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm @brad. And you can follow the show, Chicago Beer Pass, on Twitter as well, @ChicagoBeerPass. And website, ChicagoBeerPass.com. You can go there, subscribe to the show, leave us a review, because that's awesome when that happens. Yeah, that does it. Thanks for listening.
Right on. Cheers, guys.